food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on Tuesday, February 11th, 2014. A lot of things to talk about today, as we do every day. And, of course, we all know Janet Yellen. She had her first day in the job as Fed chairman or chairwoman or whatever you want to call her. I'll continue to say chairman. And I don't mean that by anything. It's just like it's a worn out with being politically correct. It's, it's just whatever. But we'll be talking about her little comments today and how it affected the market. And so let's get right to the markets today. And we had gold, well, at least gold, with continuing support for low rates. And I might, Al, go ahead, say something.
Well, the reason the gold in part is rising while the Federal Reserve maintains low interest rates is that people look and think to themselves, shall I invest in some sort of a paper debt instrument in a bank, for example, or in treasury bonds where I get almost no interest to speak of, and probably by the time you and virtually it's virtual certainty that after inflation I have lost money on my investment. I put $1,000 in the bank, and after inflation, the couple percent I make on interest, it isn't enough to compensate for inflation, so I actually lose money by putting it in the bank. So, shall I put my money in the bank, or shall I put it in gold, where there is a high probability that the price of gold will increase dramatically, and at least a near guarantee that it will at least match rates of inflation? If you catch my drift. I mean, this is, as long as the government wants to maintain low interest rates, a lot of people are going to go to gold just because, well, I go to paper. Can't make any money off of it. Melody, are you back yet or not?
Yes, I am. Sorry. Sorry. I had a little tickle in my throat. We had gold. No comment, Al. We had gold up $15.90 today at $12.90/$1.90. We have silver up 14 cents at $20.32. Platinum was up a buck at $13.92. And we also had palladium that also moved up a dollar at $722. The USDX today is trading 0.02 to the downside at 80.63. Crude oil still right around that 100 level. It was down 0.14 at 99.92. And of course, the paper for markets. They loved what Janet Yellen had to say today. And so they responded. And I don't know if the markets actually liked what she said or they were programmed to act and to respond as though they liked. Although they did come off their highs of the day, they were up over 200 for a good part. And they settled down at, not that far off, 192. 192 points to the upside at 15,994. The NASDAQ was up 42 at 41.91. And the S&P was up 19 at 18.19. And, of course, even the 10-year yield decided it was going to move up 0.04, crossing over the 70 level 2.72 on the 10-year yield. So Al, probably after today and everybody scratches their head and decides, you know, things will probably be a whole different world tomorrow, I would expect.
And what do you mean by a different world tomorrow? You mean that you expect the price of stocks to fall tomorrow? And you expect the price of gold to fall tomorrow?
I don't know.
Is that what you mean, do you mean something else?
I think you might see a little more pressure on the dollar than what we had today. And, of course, so, you know, it just depends on how. I mean, we are, you know, pretty much the beginning of the week, and so it's hard to say how the rest of the week will follow suit. I mean, you do have the Olympics going on. I don't think anyone is really paying that much attention to the markets this week. They probably really didn't even pay that much attention to her to some degree today. There was a lot of discussions on her body.
About Janet Yellen.
Janet Yellen. Her body language, and of course, comparing her to Ben Bernanke, and you know, and yada yada yada. So it will be interesting to see how the markets follow through tomorrow. Will they continue to the upside?
Well, I won't bet that they go higher necessarily. But we're going to watch closely to see if they basically stay the same and they don't lose any ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that'll be interesting to me. We would expect that the forces that have manipulated the market outrageously over most of the last 2 years, it's been going on for a decade or more, but the last 2 years it's just been outrageous and blatant. After today's significant upswing in gold, we can expect the forces that be, the powers that be, to react tomorrow by slapping gold back down. What if they don't? All right. That would be the interesting point. Whether or not gold goes up tomorrow, you know, that's interesting and it's even important. But whether or not if they are able to knock gold down, that's more important to me, because if they can't, it's another leaf in the breeze that suggests that the powers that be are running out of power. And they may not be able to manipulate the markets as they have in the past. You know, we're seeing some remarkable things happening in the gold market in the last 30 days. Where were we 30 days ago? We were down in the neighborhood of 1250, and now we're up to 1275. That's not an enormous increase, but still, we're up 25.
We're 1290.
1290.
Yeah, weren't you paying?
Yeah, I'm looking at clothes. Sorry.
Weren't you paying attention to me, Al?
You asked me to take over there for a second, and
I know.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking $40-$45 up for the month. Again, good. After what we've seen for the last, 18 months prior to the beginning of this year, this is good. You know, gets it back. Yay! I think it's starting to run. And one of the things that intrigued me today's markets. You look at the graph, and it reached up to about 1288, 1287 at one point, and then it fell. Not quite a waterfall event, but pretty close to it, and it fell down to 1278. Dropped 10 points, ballpark estimate, and then bang, jumped back up. All right. You read it and you wonder, did the powers that be try to knock gold down? When gold hit 1287, did they try to knock it down $10? Did they intend to knock it down further? I don't know. You can read the chart, and it looks like it's a possible explanation. But then something broke loose, and gold jumped even higher. If the powers that were be were pushing it down, there's some powers that are going to be that are pushing it back up. So we have an interesting battle here, an interesting, you know, this is a drama. It's strange. You wouldn't think that you could watch a graph and see a drama. We are so used to watching dramas on the movies where, you know, one knight is fencing with another one, or somebody's shooting at somebody, or you got in a fist fight or something like that. We're used to these visual dramas where fights take place. But the truth of the matter is you can see it in the price of gold. And that's not the only market where you can see it, but these indicate dramas, big ones, right? It's the ebb and flow of battles that are not just one man against another, but armies, invisible armies, but armies just the same, pushing up, pushing down, see who's got the most push. So it's fascinating. It's interesting, and it's not just amusing. It's important because if you can read these things and you can understand them correctly, they lay the foundation for whether or not you're going to become more prosperous or less. Can you see the drama in the graphs? Can you see any drama in the graphs, Melody? I mean, there was a movie, I can remember they had a movie back in probably the 60s, maybe even the 50s. It was Splendor in the Grass. Now I'm talking about drama in the graphs.
Splendor in the Grass, this was a little risque at that point in time, I believe.
Yeah, it was. And these things are a little risque. These graphs are a little risque.
Yeah.
If you know what you're looking at, these graphs are a little risque also. All right, what else have we got, Melody?
Well, there was a big announcement. Well, I don't know how big it is. Barclays is going to let about 12,000 jobs go. And yep. After their profits tumbled this year. And, you know, what's interesting is they're getting bigger and bigger bonuses. So bring in those expenses and save us some money and we'll give you some bigger bonuses. But again, you know, as we call it, just another leaf in the breeze to see what is going on. And I heard that the Toyota, I guess this was released, this week or last week, Toyota out of Australia, I guess, was going to be closing a plant there, even after Ford also has closed down their manufacturing plants. And they could be losing tons of jobs, 30,000. I don't know how many Ford employees lost their jobs when they're deciding to pull out. But, you know, I'll give you a couple guesses where they're probably heading.
Maybe. China.
Or are they just contracting?
Yeah, China is not running on all eight cylinders also. Mm-hmm. The evidence here is that Australia's economy is not doing well when they start closing down automobile plants. There's evidence that we have a problem. You know, there is a problem, and it's somewhat fundamental. And they don't close automobile plants down because they've had a bad quarter. And I doubt if they close them down just because they've had a bad year. They close them down because they see something happening that's already started and is likely to get worse over the course of the next several years. They don't anticipate a recovery anytime soon. You know, if they thought there was going to be a recovery, they say, all right, we'll keep the doors open and we'll hold this thing together until things get better again. They're saying, no, we don't think things are going to get better again. And Australia is not a bellwether economy for the whole world by any stretch of the imagination. But on the other hand, it's similar to that of the United States, not in size, of course, but in composition and values and whether or not they've got crooks running them or if they have idiots running their central banks and so on. So what are we doing here, Melody? Are we seeing, you know, is this another sign that difficult times are approaching rapidly, or is it just a sign that difficult times are perhaps approaching in Australia, but it doesn't have any significance relative to the United States? What do you think?
Well, I think any of these manufacturing plants closing down anywhere, again, the sign is, are they just moving it to, you know, to China, or are they going to pick up the slack from the production coming out of, you know, other countries in, you know, the lower wage areas and so forth. You know, again, it's just a sign. Things are not getting better. Go ahead.
Well, I saw a report recently where someone was predicting, I don't remember the author of the report, but it struck me as credible. And he was arguing that actually the cost of American labor is now down to something similar to that of China when you factor in the cost of moving products across the ocean. And what he meant by that, and he was predicting that therefore you would see industries begin to return back to this country. Now, what he says, however, is that the reason the cost of labor is falling so low is because we are now in a new wave of automation and using robots to manufacture products. And it was his prediction that 40% of the world's current jobs, not just American jobs, but of the world's current jobs, would be disappeared in the near future. All right, so it may be that once again, you're talking about some of these automobile firms. We're speculating that they're leaving Australia to go to China. They might be leaving Australia to come back to the United States and build plants here, but the plants would be so highly motivated, they won't need as many workers as they might have needed in the past, and therefore they cut their labor costs. Hour for hour, we're still making more money than Chinese labor, but with proper automation, we can put that Chinese labor out of business. And that's got to be terrifying to the people that are running China. They can't get rid of all those people, at least not peacefully. What are they going to do if automation starts to eliminate most of the jobs that are being performed by Chinese people? What happens then? I mean, and what happens here in the United States? Factories return, but they turn into a giant machine with minimum number of laborers. We don't have unions. We don't have people being paid. We don't have a large number of people being paid a lot out of these factory jobs. And we have 40% of current jobs disappearing because of a new wave of automation. 40%. There are some people in this world who can't do anything other than work in factories, do the kind of work that's repetitive and dirty and grimy and doesn't take an enormous amount of intelligence, but nevertheless you had to have a man there to do the job, sweep the floor, whatever. If we're going to eliminate their jobs, where are they going to get jobs? You're not going to train them to be computer analysts and programmers. What are you going to do? We're talking, you know, these are the kinds of things. These are the kinds of reports that, if true, point to enormous political, social, civil, financial strife in the near future, in the foreseeable future. What do you do when you've got 40% of the people in this country not only don't have jobs, but can't have jobs? Are we going to establish a welfare community for those people that are too uneducated, ignorant, unintelligent, lazy to actually have meaningful jobs? So we're going, we shall we simply extend welfare for them, and the other 60% who have jobs, they can just work to support the 40% who don't want them or don't have them? I mean, there's trouble. It's going to be another one of those problems headed our way, and we're going to have to worry about it, maybe not right now, but soon. I'm Alfred Addisk on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And what's next, Melody?
Just want to let the listeners know we got great prices on all our gold and silver coins, boxes of silver eagles. We have those available. No shipping cost on those items. You're paying about 45 cents over wholesale on those, off a couple cents from the normal price. Normally they're 50 cents over. We're dropping them to 45, which is the deal. I had someone call me earlier today. He says, well, he says, I've been buying them from these people. And I says, well, how much have they been charging you? Well, you're about 15 cents cheaper. And, of course, when you're dealing with silver, that's a lot. I says, well, okay, I guess that makes us less, doesn't it? He says, yes, it does. So we got great prices, not only over silver eagles, but our gold eagles, Canadian maple leaves for gold. We have fractional pieces. We have 90% silver. We have Morgan silver dollars. So we have a wide range of products that are available. And we do match prices as long as they're legitimate prices. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com. Visit our website. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That comes out every Monday.
Week.
Every week on Mondays.
Yeah. We have a weekly newsletter that comes out every week.
We do? Is that what I said?
No, but that's what you meant.
What did I?
It was just, it is.
You didn't let me finish my statement because I was going to say Monday.
So what's unusual about that?
I should be used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's just like what they said to Janet Yellen today. That the men had a tendency to talk before she was finished. And it's because it's just a man thing, right, Al? So that
it's a necessity. It's
is
not,
that it?
It's not an act of disrespect. It's a necessity that we men speak about these things at times, and we kind of correct whatever mistakes
But there was
female
no mistake.
Companions.
But there was no mistakes. Just have a tent. There was no mistake.
One of those things where it might have been a mistake. I was just a certain amount of preventive maintenance. It was preventive maintenance.
No. But last year we were told that you had private investors going into the market, more so than the major funds and so forth. Now you have investors that are running.
Yep.
Stocks. So they did a 1 year. Let me get in there, make a few bucks, and I'm ready to head to the hills? Is that what's happening now, do you think?
I don't think so. We got an article here from CNBC, and the headline is Investors Running from Stocks Like It's 2011 Again. Investors pulled the most money out of stocks last week in 2.5 years as part of a trend that may signal more than just short-term panic selling. That's an unusual sentence to me. I mean, if they're in a state of panic all by itself, that's news. That's significant. That's something to be wary about. And they're saying, no, it's just panic selling. That's all. That's probably all it is. Or is it maybe more, even more significant than panic? What is more significant than panic selling? I guess the idea is that panic selling is short term. Oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. Let's sell all my shares in the color blue. Well, tomorrow I may go back and buy my shares back again. I panic today, and tomorrow I'm calm down again. If it's more important than panic selling, then it's got to be a long-term problem. The article continues, mutual funds focused on equities. Mutual funds focused on equities lost $28 billion in the week that ended February 5th, worst weekly performance since August of 2011. Investors have grown skittish about stocks, and 2014 as worries mount over the strength of the U.S. and global economy. And that's the more interesting point and more probably the motive behind investors that are moving away from stocks. Therefore, stock prices are tending to go lower. And they're just waking up to what's happening in the economy. They jumped in last year. This year, they're saying, nope, things aren't going that well. I think it's time to get out of here. The article says last year's massive stock market surge, which saw the Standard and Poor's 500 large cap stock index gained 29%, and smaller company shares gain even more, has generated some old-fashioned portfolio rebalancing. Old-fashioned portfolio rebalancing. Sounds like just down-home folks who, after a long afternoon of churning butter out on the porch, are now doing some old-fashioned portfolio rebalancing. It sounds kind of homey. But is that all it is? Down home, old fashioned, portfolio rebalancing? Or are stock investors anticipating a significant correction that's headed for the stock markets and are therefore running for the doors? Just getting out. More than likely, there's a lot of talk that the market is due for a significant correction. It could run to 20-30%. It may not be cause for alarm, but some people think it's about time that happened. And there's more than a few commentators who agree with that opinion, and it may just be prudent. People are just, it's like putting up your umbrella. We're going to have rain today. Put up the umbrella because it's going to rain. Tomorrow will be okay. It may not be of dramatic significance if the stock market falls 20-30%, in the sense that it may not point to the end of the world per se. It may just be a correction. We may be headed there and people are far moving. In any case, after such a big move, it would only be natural. This is the article. Only be natural for investors to start shifting money around as allocations get out of whack with too much allocation to risk. Wait a second. Allocations getting out of whack with too much allocation to risk. That phrase doesn't sound at all like down-home butter churning. This sounds somewhat complex, even incomprehensible. When I see language like that, I start to wonder, somebody fibbing? somebody trying to fool me? They go on, there's Mark Irizarry and a team of equity analysts at Goldman Sachs said in a research note, a divergence between institutional and retail activity has surfaced. Oh, now it's all beginning to make sense, Melody. A divergence between institutional and retail activity has surfaced. What do they really mean by that? You suppose it's possible that they mean a difference between Wall Street institutions and Main Street retail activities have surfaced? Are they implying that despite all of Wall Street's and government's manipulations of the stock and commodity markets, that those markets are going nowhere unless Main Street comes along? Is it possible that the mighty Wall Street can't make it without the prosperity and consequent support of the lowly Main Street? Could it be that Wall Street doesn't really run this country? Could it be that despite all the evidence and hype to the contrary, the big boys on Wall Street can't make it unless they make sure that the little guys on Main Street also get a fair-sized piece of the economic pie? That's all speculation, and it's leaping and it's stretching my neck out a long way from just a little phrase on a divergence between institutional and retail activity. But, you know, it's one of those things when they start speaking in language that is incomprehensible, you have to wonder, is that an accident or is that intent? Are we being, is someone speaking to us like an adult addressing some children, or are they trying to baffle us with BS? And I'm inclined to look at reports like this and say, I think somebody's trying to baffle me with BS. I think that's what's going on here because they're not really getting it. They're not communicating. What's the problem here? And it is not being communicated by a divergence between institutional and retail activity having surfaced. That obfuscates communication. When they do that, it tells me it's another one of those signs in the breeze that suggests to me that we're in deeper than a lot of people know. And they don't necessarily want to admit how deeply we are in this mess, but just the same, read between the lines, and maybe that's a correct analysis. What do you think?
Well, that's sort of like Greenspan speak. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. It's, you know, there's many ways you can interpret it. There's many ways that, and 90% of the people can't interpret it in any manner. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's Greenspan speak. And you're right. It's cover up. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, and if you say something with confidence,
yeah, no.
You know,
that's
you
right.
Can say anything and yep. People are there, you know, yeah. You know, and this is what this reminds me of. Goldman Sachs research note. They know exactly. It's like, yeah, why don't you spin something out of, you know, make it sound good. And, you know, we need to get some, you know, things going. So, yeah. Wall Street is.
It was like Greenspan.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't understand what he was saying, but he spoke with such confidence that you had to believe him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And it's a fundamental reality of sales. If you're going to sell anything, you have to speak with confidence. And people will buy confidence before they will buy information.
Truth.
Right?
Before they buy truth.
Right. It's just so much easier. We are equipped, inclined, whatever, to follow the leader. So those of you who can act like leaders and speak with great confidence, we'll follow you. So long as that means we don't actually have to read anything for ourselves, we don't have to study, we don't have to learn. All we have to do is just follow what's his name. And that's part of human, I don't know, it's part of our makeup. It's part of our mentality. And it's not a good thing. Because, again, if you're going to follow the leader and you're going to follow whoever speaks with enormous confidence, whoever speaks with the most confidence, that's who we're following. I don't care what he says. Well, that's who most people are going to follow. And what do we know if you're investing? What's the fundamental principle? You buy low and you sell high. The time to buy is when everyone is following that charismatic, extremely confident leader who says, don't buy that stuff. It's crazy. And everyone says, yay, the leader has told us what to do. If you're following the leader, you're not going to buy low. Similarly, when the leader changes his mind and he says, that's the product to buy over there, and he says it with sufficient confidence, then the people will say, yay, we will follow the leader. And he will take you where? He will take you to the buy high. You'll be buying products when everybody else is buying the product and the price is at maximum height, and you got there because you followed the leader. And if you're going to be a successful investor, you must buy low and sell high, which means you can't follow the leader. The vast majority will follow the leader. And when they do, prices will fall low. And when they follow them the other way, prices will rise high. So following the leader is foolishness. It's unfortunate that the human psyche is built to, we're inclined to do that. And you have to try to overcome it. If you're going to be a successful investor, you have to take responsibility for your own investment choices, not follow the leader. Take responsibility, make up your own mind, learn from your mistakes, take another shot. What else, Melody?
Well, I think, too, you're right, everybody follows the leader and he gets you in when it's high, and they never tell you when to get out. Mm-hmm. In these markets, you do trade. These are not markets to hold. But you have to know the difference when someone's telling you to sell and to buy into something else. Are they just churning you? I mean, or
that's
very difficult.
All about.
Yeah, but it's still okay. If it's not what?
If it's not confidence, that's how churning takes place.
But it's okay to sell stocks if you're making a profit. It's okay to sell and get into something else as long as you don't end up churning yourself and don't let them do it. But this is not these are very tough markets, and these are not markets to hold. And you have to be involved. You just can't
Most markets are that way, but some things have long-term potential. The fundamentals are there, and therefore you can hold. But for most of it, certainly if it's paper debt, gold is the classic example. Exactly. Silver's another. Long-term fundamentals. You can hold long-term.
Right.
How many others can you say that? It was Warren Buffett who made the point. He said when he invests, he says he's looking for a stock that he can put his money in today, and he doesn't even have to look at it for the next 10 years. He's confident that 10 years from now, he will have made money on that stock. Huh? Well, where would you be willing to put your money, ladies and gentlemen, other than gold? You're going to take all your money. We're going to put it into one investment. We're not even going to look at it for the next 10 years. Okay, you don't have a chance to buy, sell, whatever. None of it. Just put it in a box. It stays there for 10 years. What would you invest in besides gold? from my perspective, what else? What else? What else could you invest in? Nothing else has the same potential, the same probability for increasing significantly in price over the same the next 10 years as does gold. And if you're going to follow Warren Buffett, his advice, the most successful investor in the world. I'm not sure if he still is or not, but one of. Certainly top 3-4, maybe the top one. He says, look for something you can put your money into now. Don't look at it again for 10 years and know that there will be something positive happening a decade from now. That's what he's looking for. You ought to do the same, ladies and gentlemen. And it won't be a question of following the herd or following the leader. It'll just be a question of making a certain amount of good sense. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We will take another break. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What you got for us, Melody? What's next?
We got a question in from Ivan. He says, according to RT, German Chancellor Merkel expressed outrage over a leaked phone conversation in which a senior U.S. diplomat used a nasty word to dismiss the EU's handling of the Ukrainian crisis. Is Victoria Nuland so blatant to dictate what the Ukraine should do in order to have a change of government? Is not this similar what they are doing to Syria?
Well, yeah, I'd say it's similar. It's what they're doing to everybody. The government operates on the assumption that it is entitled to interfere with political events all over the world and throughout the United States of America. That's what all the NSA spying is about. I mean, it's not just a matter of why collect all that information if you didn't think you could use it? Why spy on foreign politicians if you don't intend to interfere with whatever they're doing? There is a kind of arrogance in our government that is extraordinary, and it can't last a long time. They can't continue to do this. What were we doing in Iraq? Why did we invade? And the answer is allegedly weapons of mass destruction, but there never were any. And we stayed for 8.5 years. What are we thinking about here? What's really going on other than an incredible, you know, if I bust into somebody's house, imagine I run in there, break through the door, I've got a double-barreled shotgun and I'm ready. Why am I there? I claim, well, I thought there were burglars in your house and I broke in to get the burglars. Well, there weren't burglars, so I guess I made a mistake. Well, what do you do then? You back out, and you say, listen, I'll pay for that door, and I'll get out of here. We didn't do that. We stuck around for 8.5 years. What for? We never had any valid reason to be there, and it didn't disturb our government in the least. And so here we are spying on whatever's going on with the European Union and the Ukraine or whatever's happening in Syria and the rest of that. It's more of the same kind of attitude that allowed us to invade Iraq without any credible reason. Our government just takes it for granted they can meddle in everyone's lives. They take it for granted they must meddle in everyone's lives, and that presumption is going to be defeated at some point in the future. Going to have to pull in their horns and say, gee whiz, I guess we're going to have to mind our own business.
Another question coming in, Alfred, is according to Max Kaiser, the China is using the round-tripping method to maintain its economy at slight upside level. This is done by exporting to Hong Kong, which would show as imports. Then Hong Kong exports the same merchandise back to China, which would indicate additional imports. Is it a viable way to maintain an economy? Is it not just a shell game?
Of course it's a shell game. That's what it is. They are apparently learning their grasp of economics and politics. They're learning from our own government, which falsifies figures on a regular basis. What is the real inflation rate? What's the unemployment rate? What's the real supply of money in this country? M1, M2, M3? Good God. We can't get straight answers out of our government. And all of this is intended to maintain someone's confidence in a particular economy. I'm going to speculate that the reason our government lies to the American people, the primary reason, is to maintain the confidence of the American people in the economy. Huh? I don't think that's a big stretch. I think most people would agree. They're lying to us. They say, oh, it's great. We're having a recovery. It's wonderful. Don't be bashful. Go out there and buy something. Borrow some money. Buy something. Stimulate the economy. That's the idea behind it. Happy days are here again. Don't worry about a thing. Go out and go deeper into debt. Now, who is China trying to fool when they start arguing that they take the money out of their right-hand pocket, put it in their left-hand pocket, call it an import, and take it out of their left-hand pocket, put it back in the right-hand pocket, they call it an export? Who is China trying to fool? Is it necessary to maintain the public confidence of the people of China? Are they sufficiently savvy where they respond to artificial attempts to stimulate their confidence? Is that true? Or is China trying to maintain the illusion among the rest of the nations of the world that China is larger, more powerful than is really the case? Is China trying to fool the world, or are they trying to fool the Chinese? Our government is mostly trying to fool us, I think. But so, who knows? Do we have an answer for those questions, Melody, or those suspicions? We do not.
We do not.
Melody, we do not. Melody, did you hit your mute button there, Melody?
No, I did not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not. You know, number one, we don't know if they're doing it, but absolutely it's something that they could be doing. I mean, you're right. I mean, China is not going to tell. It's very difficult. I listened to an expert on China. And he basically what he said was, people don't know what they're doing. They don't release the information, and I don't think any government does anymore. I mean, no one knows what they're doing behind the doors. They give us
including
these fake
the people
lies
that are behind the doors.
I mean, they
there's
give
a
us
problem.
These,
do the people behind the doors even know what they're doing?
I mean, they give us the lies, and nothing is true that they provide. There's a little bit of truth that they release with all the lies, and that's how they can keep things going. But so no one knows what they're doing.
Well, I get that. I talked about this on the program before. A friend of mine lived in China for a year one time, and she told me a story where she explained that the guide wouldn't take her to certain restaurants. And she always had the guide. She had a guide all the time. And the guide would never take her to certain restaurants in her neighborhood. And the guide later explained that the reason she didn't is because they served dog and cat in the restaurant. And she knew how Americans felt about their pets, and therefore she didn't want to bring them there. And what she explained is that Chinese people are engaged. They are dedicated. It's part of their culture and their faith, their religion, to try to maintain harmony at any cost. And that means they will lie and lie and lie. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you whatever you need to hear, they think you need to hear, in order to keep you calm. Got to maintain harmony. And my point has always been, ever since I heard that story, China is not a place to bet your life on, your money on, your wealth on. I don't think so. If you show me a nation where their culture includes, they accept the idea that people will lie to each other in order to maintain harmony. I don't want to get in an airplane that's been built by some people. When the boss asks, did you torque the nuts down on the bolt that's holding the wing on the left side? Did you torque them down to, 150 foot-pounds of pressure? I don't want to fly an airplane when the guy says, oh, yeah. We got 150, yeah, we got 150. Did he really do it, or is he just giving them a little bit of harmony? That's not a formula for long-term success, in my opinion. I expect China to be, they're going to hit the wall. And it may be a few years before that happens, but they're going to hit the wall in a way that they won't easily overcome. What they do then, I don't know.
Do they
collapse, or do they invade?
I read an article about China. It was written back in the early 30s. And this writer broke different segments of China, from their children to how they view marriages. And again, it talked about their culture. And it is so inbred in their culture and in them that he said they will never change. It's not a society that, look how this country has changed in 200 years. Look how our beliefs and our faith and everything has changed. He says that won't happen. And the one thing that I remember, he says, China treats their enemies as friends. They come to their enemy as a friend. They help them. They work with them. And then, of course, when they get to a certain point, they will do what is necessary to eliminate that enemy.
Enemy, yeah.
And it was like it's almost like our relationship with China. Look how, and I just... And yet you say, how will it end? Their military. We're paying them to build their military. Every little trinket we buy goes into their military. A large percent of it goes into their military. And you can see how they've changed and how they're building up. And yes, they have their problems.
Yeah.
They have their shadow banking. They have all their, things they have to deal with. And but yet don't for one minute think that you shouldn't be a little concerned. Well, yes,
I understand. You got to be concerned simply because they have so many pressures. It's like a man who's got a family with 20 kids. The guy's got a lot of pressure, and it may be that he's going to have to rob a bank to feed the family. When people have that much pressure, they do desperate things. They become desperate. They do desperate things. It's true for people, and it's true for nations. And what will China do? Will they eventually go to war to alleviate some of their pressures? Or will they allow the pressures to cause some sort of collapse where they have an internal feud, civil wars, poverty, whatever? And they can thin the population down to a point where it might be viable. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. No one can predict, but you can bet they're going to see a moment like that. And I'll bet you it's within 10 years, and it might be within 5.
Well, how does... we're politically correct. We're not allowed to say red China. don't say red China.
We can say...
People don't relate to China as a communist country.
They don't relate to this country as communist either. All right? But that's because most people don't understand the real meaning of democracy.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people in the world. In fact, most of us don't understand what a collectivist form of government really is, and I don't have time to begin on it right now. But China's not the only people on Earth who are ignorant. About their form of government. We're ignorant about their form of government. We're ignorant about our own form of government. And no one in government is teaching us.
I don't think China's ignorant about their form of government. I just don't believe that their form of government, I mean, yes, we're certainly on our way to communism. I don't think we're quite there yet. We're eventually going there. I mean, that's the path we're headed. Not sure we're there yet, but we're close. We're very close. But how do countries, I mean, you know what their ultimate goal is. So I don't
I don't know if you ever know what a country's ultimate goal is exactly, other than survival. And from the government's perspective, who's the biggest enemy of the government of China?
China?
Chinese people. They're the ones that I may all of a sudden storm the palace and kill them all.
No, I doubt that.
No, I understand, but the government sits there. They live with that pressure. It's true in every country.
I don't think
that's the principal enemy of the United government of the United States.
Don't you remember?
People. Always. The people of the government are the ones that are holding the government accountable. They're the ones who are oppressed, exploited by the government. They're the ones who have a legitimate gripe with the government. In the final, the government understands this. People generally don't. But the government understands, you know, if all those people out there in TV land all of a sudden realize what we've been up to all these years, they're gonna string us all up. There aren't many congressmen who don't understand that principle. No presidents, no senators, they get it. If the public ever wakes up, these guys are in big trouble. They're walking an interesting tightrope. And it's not just here in this country, that's true in virtually every country you can point to. Biggest enemy of the government is the people. Unless the government is truly doing what the people want, what government wants to do that? The purpose of getting into government is to exploit people and enrich yourselves. You know, that's how most people do it. Where do you find real public servants anymore? Anyone know? When was the last time you saw one who was more interested in doing what was right for the people than he was in what was right for his employer, which would be a government agency, or himself? Who really serves and protects the American people anymore? Got any ideas? Got any answers for that? I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to hear what police department serves and protects the American people and what government agency really serves and protects the American people. How many, in fact, are serving and protecting the government and the government agencies and their pensions, their fat pensions and their fat paychecks and so on? That's who they're. That's what's really going on. You can say it's corrupt and criminal. You can say it's human nature, but it is reality. First order of business for any government is try to keep control of its people. They're the real danger to government. If government can't control the people, government's going out of business. We're going off the air.
And you control it through the monetary policy. You control the money.
For sure. We're going off the air because it's time to do it. We'll be back tomorrow, though. Hope you'll tune in at that time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. See you manana in the meantime. The good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.